We're good? Okay. Father, we thank you in the name of Yeshua for your everlasting love and kindness, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you speak to us, you give us direction to apply to our lives in Yeshua's name. Amen. You know, this was a few weeks ago, started to think about something that the Lord placed on my heart, and has to do about the word that he said. It was in Luke chapter 18. And if we start at verse 1, if you remember, he was talking about a certain lady in a town that consistently went to this judge, and she wanted justice. And she kept going. And this particular judge didn't fear God or fear man or anybody. But he reasoned to himself that, you know, this lady is just not going to stop. So, okay, I'll listen to her. But the one part that interested me was what Yeshua said, is that in verse 8, actually, if we start a little bit further up, verse 6, says, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now I will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay over them? And will I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" That part of when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I asked, well, what do you mean? Will you find faith on the earth? There's a lot of things that started to come to mind. One of the things is that many times we go out and we do things and we have a backup plan. Lord, direct me at something, but in case he doesn't do it, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. So we start to depend on ourselves instead of the Lord. And there's a number of examples in Scripture that we can pull on about people who trust the Lord or did not. The first one that we want to look at is was Saul. It's in chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. Remember, there was a battle that they were fighting or about to fight. And Saul was supposed to wait for Samuel. And he was supposed to wait for 7 days. Well, he looked at the enemy, and a lot of the enemy had started to gather. And the people with him were getting to be a little afraid. So they started to leave and so forth. And what did Saul do? Well, he thought, well, Samuel's not here. I need to do something. I need to do something to keep the people from leaving. And he sacrificed to the Lord. And about that time, in the midst of the sacrifice, who shows up? Samuel. And this is when God told Saul that he was very much displeased with him and that his kingdom would not stand and God was going to anoint someone else king. If you can think about your own life and you start with things and you've cried out to the Lord for something and you're working, work, and nothing is happening. You look right and left and then you start, well, maybe I should do something. And how many times has anyone here ever been in a situation where it's really rough, but you still held out for the Lord, and at the last moment, he comes through? There's some other examples about people who did this just a little bit differently. That's David. And I'm amazed at David. And that story you can find, let's see, 1 Samuel 17, where he goes out with his brothers. And he's looking around and he sees this Philistine, Goliath, defying the armies of the Lord. And of course, he was amazed that all the Israelites were hiding and so forth because this guy was talking against the God of Israel. He couldn't understand that. So Saul called him in and says, okay, I'm going to dress you up, put shields on and armor. And David says, hey, this stuff is too heavy for me. I really can't do anything with these. He described a couple of situations that he had been in. One was that he was out taking care of the sheep. A lion grabbed one of the sheep. He went over and grabbed the lion by the beard. And when the lion started to attack him, he killed him with his staff. Again, did he have a backup plan? Am I going to run? Or do I have a lot of money and I can settle on that? It's a little difficult when you've got going through life and you're very well off, right? You have all you need. Well, if this happens, I'll just fall back on what I've saved. All right? So we all do that. I'm not saying don't save. All right? Because people tend to misunderstand me sometimes when I start talking about these things. But don't be dependent on that. Don't let what you do, well, I can be brave, I can do this, I can do the other, because if something happened, I can fall back on what I've got saved. That savings can go away like that. I'm telling you, it can really go. I don't know if any of you have been, well, I'll share this. I wasn't going to do this, but when your employment, you have a job and you get laid off, and if you've ever been there, it's tough. Some people can identify with that. I share a little bit about what happened to me back. I worked for General Electric about 15 years, and then I started work for IBM. It was another 13 years, and I got laid off. And there was an opportunity for me to, because my mom had a house down in Suffolk. She says, "Hey, why don't you just move out of your house? Rent your house out, because, you know, the renters there, they're kind of, I just want them out, and it's time for them to go anyway, but, you know, you can move in." You know, I asked the Lord about that. He told me to stay. Stay here. For the next 3 years, I went everywhere looking for work. Couldn't find any. I looked at my resume. Should I change something on this? I started to do that. I couldn't change anything. I got one job that was selling insurance. I sold one policy to a Vietnamese business. When I did that, people, "Oh, how do you do that? Nobody's ever been able to sell anything to them." I was a technical recruiter for a while. Placed one person. And I'm saying, what am I still here? So, under those circumstances, your savings are gone. This went on for about 3.5 years. I had a mortgage, got family. So all savings gone, borrowed as much as you could borrow. And then the next month is coming up. How do I pay the mortgage? Understand, the Lord was with me the whole time. Never missed the payment of anything. And I could sleep at night. So, a friend of mine called. Like on a Thursday, I believe it was. "Are you coming to the open house tomorrow?" They first said, if I was working, you know, "There's a position for software test engineers." I said, "I'm a hardware guy. You know, I work hardware, electronics." He said, "Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, you're testing electronic stuff. Yeah, software is no different." I said, "Come on." So, we have an open. I said, "Hey, I'll send my resume because all those open houses are this way. You know, you give me your resume, you never hear from them. I can just mail you my resume." Now, that was Wednesday. On Thursday, another friend from the same contract called. "Are you coming to the open house tomorrow?" Light bulb went on. Maybe I should go. Maybe the Lord is trying to tell me something here. I went in, I gave him my resume, and all this excitement. "Whoa, you can do this, you can do that." Wait a minute. It's the same resume that I've had all the time. What is it you want to do? "Well, I want to talk to your test manager." Here's the amazing thing. I went to talk, you know, they gave me the interview with him. I interviewed with him. He asked me a question about, in software terms. I didn't know what he was talking about. The guy next to him said, "Well, have you done XYZ? "Oh, yeah." He asked another question. And this guy sitting next to him, "Well, have you?" And, "Well, they wanted to hire me right there." "Well, we can't do it. Come in Monday." Went in Monday. It wasn't much of an interview. It was just, "We'll pay you this much. When can you start?" "I can start now." Well, we have to do a lot of paperwork. Come in tomorrow. But that was something, an experience that I'm telling you. If you haven't been through something like that, an understanding that God comes through, you're missing a lot. You miss a lot. But it was at the last minute. It was the same thing that we can relate back to Saul. Wait. You had a word from God. Wait. He will fulfill what he says he's going to do. So David continued. He walked before Goliath with only a couple of stones. Now, he had all of this negative stuff told to him. Hey, this guy's been a warrior since his youth. And you are just a child. Now, it's always, you can be brave when you got people behind you that are going to help you out, right? It's almost like the little kid who's taunting the dog because he's on a chain or behind the fence. But David went before Goliath, and he told, I mean, the Goliath said all kinds of things to him. How he's going to just wipe him out, feed him to the birds of the air. But then David told him that he was coming in the name of the Lord. And one of the things I want you to get from this story is that he had nobody to back him up but the Lord. He was only going in the power of the Lord. He's not depending on his brothers. He's not depending on the army of Israel. He's out there by himself with the Lord. Each of us needs to be by ourselves out in front with the Lord. Don't depend on your wife. Don't depend on what you have in the bank. Depend on the Lord. And David, of course, you know the rest of the story. Chopped his head off. Sometimes we pray and we ask the Lord for answers. Oh, I have another story. This one comes from, remember the story? It's in Judges 19 and 20. There was this man who went to pick up his concubine. And he's coming back to Israel. And he didn't want to stay out in the foreigners' areas. He wanted to go to Israel. So he stayed in a town of Benjamin. And the men of the town came knocking on the door. And they wanted him. But he put his concubine out. I don't quite understand that. But the next morning, I can imagine him coming out, probably kicked her. Hey, get up. And she didn't get up. He put her on his donkey and went back home. He cut her up into 12 pieces and sent them throughout all of Israel. The people were quite upset. They gathered that something's wrong here. So this man gave his story to them of what happened to him in Benjamin. The next part of this is quite interesting. because they pray to the Lord. And the Lord says, they ask the Lord, should we go up against Benjamin? And the Lord says, yes. Well, who should go up first? Judah. So Judah goes. And they got beat. 22,000 men fell. Now, a lot of us, if God has told us to do something, oh, something's wrong with this. We were supposed to win. They came back. They prayed to the Lord. They fasted. And they asked the Lord, shall we go up again or shall we just stop? And the Lord says, go up again. They got beat again. 18,000 men died. Went back, prayed, fasted all day, rest of the day. Asked the Lord again, should we go up? I think a lot of us would have stopped at the first one. I'm not stupid. I am not going to go back up here again. You've got to have something else different for me to do, Lord. But he said, go again. This time you will be successful. Think about those things. Apply them to yourselves in your situation. You pray and you ask the Lord for answers. Should I do X, Y, Z? And he says, do it. And you get knocked on your face. Go back. Lord, do you still want me to do this? Keep going until he tells you to stop. The example of that woman who kept going to the judge over and over again, same thing. Go till you get an answer. Sometimes we pray and we already have the answer of what we want the answer to be. You know, there's a good example of that. That was, in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 42. This was after Nebuchadnezzar had captured all of these people. And there was a remnant that he left in Jerusalem. Some, you know, warriors and few people there. Poor people. They went to Jeremiah and says, go to the Lord for us. Because we want to know the Lord's will. What should we do? You know, tell us what we, and we will do everything that he says. Don't hold anything. We will do all that he tells us to do. I think it was either 10 days later or a few days later, Jeremiah comes back. And Jeremiah told them what the Lord says. Told them to stay here in Jerusalem. And you'll do well. Just stay here. Because if you go outside, you go somewhere else, you're going to be destroyed. And one of the commanders says, you're lying. God didn't tell you that. Is that so hard? You know, you think about it. A lot of times we go and we already have our answers in our back pocket of what God's going to say and how he wants to do things. And then we hear something, yeah, that can't be from God. That can't be you. And maybe you don't know the voice of the Lord. That's a possibility too. But we need to know the voice of the Lord always. In everything that we do, we need to know his voice. And not depend on our own devices. Well, of course, they ignored Jeremiah. They headed back to Egypt. And, of course, what the Lord had said would happen, happened. They were destroyed. There's some other things that we do. This is like everybody always do this. You know, in Jeremiah, I think it's, where are we? 17. One of the things, there's one scripture there, that's 17:5. It talks about if you put your trust in man, that you are cursed. Other part of that is when blessings come, you won't even see them. Now, putting your trust in man is putting your trust in yourself and everybody else. Let's think about when you go to the doctor. Sometimes we pray and we go to the doctor and we put our trust in the doctor. They do have wisdom that comes from God. But again, you need to be depending on the Lord. If he tells you to do something, and I've been through this kind of stuff. I remember when my girls were little, they came out with some new drugs or a combination of drugs or whatever, wanted us to sign this form to release them from anything. Says, oh, well, this is good. Yeah. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, I would give it to my girls. And you know what I told them? Give it to your girls. You're not experimenting on my children. Amen. Understand, you don't have to submit to these people. They are people just like you. Now, because I'm a technical guy, I understand electronics. If you go to a doctor and says, hey, doctor, I'm sick, what does he do? He asks you what's wrong. You give him a symptom. Think of a chart. Okay, if they say this, I go this direction. Oh, if they say this, I go the next direction. That's how I troubleshoot. That's how anybody troubleshoots anything. You do that. What? Oh, this. Let me tell you something. It does not always work. I almost died from that. At 17 years old, I went, my uncle was a doctor. I went there and he went on, I think it was on the Shabbat, because my stomach was hurting. He said, oh, come on over to the house. And he examined. Okay. Well, if you don't feel any better, call me. I'll come out to the house tomorrow. Came out to the house. He goes, okay, we need to get you. And then I went to, I guess Monday, went to his office and he examined. Let's get you over to another doctor. Because obviously something's wrong. Went to the doctors. They couldn't find anything either. So the one doctor says, oh, well, we need to put him in the hospital. Let's operate on him because we had to do exploratory surgery. All right? Now, why couldn't they figure out what was wrong with me? My appendix had ruptured. I did not have the classic symbols symptoms. Did not have the classic symptoms. So when they cut me open, this nice doctor the next day says, "Oh, man, you know, I've operated on people like you before and they died. Only thing that came out was blood and pus and everything." I was in the hospital for a week. So when you go to the doctors, understand they don't know everything. All right? Understand that the Lord has to direct them to what may be wrong with you. You are an individual. You operate a lot different from everybody else. Look at some of the drugs sometimes. You look at it and go, oh, sudden death. What? You know, and oh, but it's only one in, well, how do you know which one you are? All right? But again, you need to, if you start to feel uncomfortable, don't be doing things, okay, I'm fearful. I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to do that. I want you to understand you need to be asking the Lord what it is you should be doing. Lord, guide me. I'm going over here to this doctor. Maybe you've shown somebody in the world this problem before and shown them the solution. We think about Moses throwing a stick in the water and the water was clean and all that stuff. Stick was there all the time. But one of the things, the problems that happens, I remember when I was working at General Electric years and years ago, real young guy, this coworker of mine, well, you believe the Bible. Yeah, all of those things that are in there can be explained scientifically. So what? I mean, I don't get the connection that if it can be explained scientifically, that the Lord has nothing to do with it. Yeah, when he's made everything, because, you know, science can look at it and say, oh, this, the Lord gives you wisdom enough to figure out, okay, yeah, this happens, if this happens, this, fine, that's good. But it does not trump everything. Only the Lord is the one that opens our eyes to anything that happens. If anybody in here has been sick, a miracle has happened because you're still here. Understand that God still performs miracles today. That he loves you and he wants you well. If you get sick, you pray to him. Ask them what you should do. Start looking all over. You can go to the doctors too. I want to make sure, because a lot of people just plain misunderstand this and go, oh, well, I'm not going to go to the doctor. That might be foolish. But when you go, don't put your trust in the doctor. Put your trust in the Lord. And maybe the doctor will know. If that one doesn't know, and listen to the Lord, whether he wants you to go somewhere else, or whether he speaks to you and tells you to do something that doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, okay, go walk. Well, I've done that before. That didn't help. We have memories. And that's one of our biggest problems. I've done that before. I'm not going to go do it again because I know the results that happened last time. Right? That's why many of us would have never gone back and attacked Benjamin the second time or a third time. Because, hey, I remember those guys beat us down last time. And I am not going to do that again. But if you know the voice of the Lord, you'll continue to make that progress. You continue to try to, okay, Lord, go back and tell them, hey, they knocked me on my can. What do you want me to do now? And one of the probably the best ways to really get down into your spirit of what's in the scriptures that you can pull on it, what I found is the quickest way. Read your scriptures. But on top of that, everybody here has probably an MP3 player or some kind of device. I'm telling you, if you've never done that, listen to it, there's a whole new dimension. If the only time you hear anything about scripture is when you come out to Shabbat service, you're missing a lot. You are missing a lot, and you're cutting yourself short. If you listen to the entire scripture, you probably can do it in, you know, a month if you're diligent, 2 months. But there's a lot of downtime that we have that you can do that. You're going to hear things as you do it that you never heard before and that you never thought was in the scriptures before. And you'll go back, I don't believe that. Where was that? And you go and pick up your Bible and you read it and you go, oh, I didn't know that. Another good part of it is that when you're going through something, scripture comes. How do I apply this? What do I do here? How am I supposed to do X, Y, Z? Those scriptures will come back to you. But if you've never heard them, there's nothing much to pull on. And, of course, read it through. This is one thing that someone said one time. Oh, I've read the Bible through one time. What else is in there? It's all this. I mean, it's nothing else. I mean, I've read it once. I don't need to read it again. If anybody here has read the scriptures all the way through or listened to it all the way through and never find anything new, raise your hand. You will always find something, a new twist to something that applies to you. And it will help you beyond your belief with your faith of how you trust the Lord. You see all of the things that God says he's going to do. Could hundreds of years could go by and you see it happen. Wow. I was curious about when he made these prophecies against one of the kings of Israel and that he was going to destroy him in this particular battle. So he went out with Israel and disguised himself, and the other king put on his royal robes. And they went out. And the enemy had orders only go after the king. So they went out and they saw the king of Judah and they went after him. Once he started to run and they found out, oh, that's not the king. That's not the one. And they left him alone. And they were in battle. Someone shot an arrow at random. We know that's not random. But it hit him between his breast plate. And he died. I think that was Ahab, wasn't it? Remember the prophecy way before that, that the dogs were going to lap up his... And I'm like, okay, what? Where are the dogs? And as he goes, and it's washing out the chariot, the dogs lapped up his blood. But again, you miss all of those fine points. A lot of those things if you don't read the scriptures. And also read the boring parts, which is Chronicles. People think Chronicles boring. You know, I can remember this preacher on television one time was talking about Yeshua was descendant from Ham. That's, where do you get that? Oh, it's in the Bible. Because if you don't read the scriptures, you know, if you don't read it, you won't know that Yeshua was not descendant from Ham. He's descendant from Shem. That's what the scriptures say. But he was supposed to be, oh yeah, he's studied, he's big. I'm sorry, you didn't look at the scriptures. You're saying something totally different than what the scriptures say. So there's very important reason to read Chronicles. There's a lot of stuff there. All right? Praise the Lord. Any questions? Comments? Criticisms? Diane, you can hit the stop button. Amen. So I'll stand and all the men with talits come up.